Okay, so this is April 20th, and the topic this month is Think the Thoughts That You Want to Think.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that is finally sinking into your consciousness, and you realize that you are connected to this thing that we call God, and that you truly are a god or goddess. Once you realize that you're a god or a goddess, then you realize that you're creating your life. And you create your life one thought at a time. So to this month's topic is, learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. Why would you ever want to think a thought that you don't want? You see? And you can learn to control your thinking so that you can make yourself think what you want to think. The mind has to obey you. Many people think that the mind is who they are. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use, and you must learn to use it correctly. And when we learn to use our mind correctly, when we learn to think the thought that we want to think instead of allowing the world to bombard us with all that twaddle out there, then we can start to live our life the way we want it. Without what I call all the nits and fleas of life, without all the worry, the anxiety, all that stuff is absolutely unnecessary. You do not have to have it. It's a habit. And everyone's doing it, so you think, oh, that's what humans do. They sit around and worry. Don't sit around and worry. Don't sit around and do any of that stuff. I met a man, well, he's working on our building, in fact. He's 50, I think he told me. And he still thinks that God is punishing. This thing we call God never punishes. It just doesn't do that. You see, we punish ourselves, but God doesn't punish. God always holds each and every one of us in the highest of esteem. And God wants for us to have everything. Everything our hearts desire. We can do that, but we have to control our thinking, and we have to be able to think the thought that we want to think. I found this last week, and I brought it in because I think it's so succinct, and it's tragedy, chaos, and unhappiness are an unfortunate rumor we can throw overboard at any time. It's just a rumor, people. Can you understand that? That all, most of the stuff we do, it's just a rumor. We just think, oh, well, that's, somebody told me. That's the they's, you remember? What they think. What that, we never know who that they are, do we? So learn to think the thought that you want to think. So let's continue this. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. You have to do that yourself. We're always relying, or we were taught to rely years ago, on somebody else to do our thinking for us, for somebody else to figure the whole thing out. You have to figure it out yourself, people. You have to do that. And if you want to train your mind, you have to do that for yourself. The mind will listen to you. It has to listen to you. At the present moment, your mind may not be listening to you because you have allowed it to take over your life. So it just automatically runs. But you can stop that at any time you want and say, listen here, I'm in control here. I am the one that's at the switchboard of my life. I'm the one that's pressing the buttons. I'm the one that's turning the dials. once you realize that, I often sit and see the switchboard in front of me. And I turn the dials and flick the switches and do all the things to make my mind work for me instead of me working for my mind. If your mind is driving you, then you are in slavery. You are in slavery. And I'll bring up that famous thing from Rumi, who said, "Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open?" We put ourselves in prison constantly with our thinking. What do I mean by that, some of that thinking? "I'm not musical," I say to myself. Where the hell did I get that idea? From my family. They said, "Dallas, you're not musical. You couldn't hold a tune in a bucket." So I believed them. Now I am changing that. I may break into song at any minute. But you have to, you see, those are the little things you have to see. What did I do to myself? We're doing it to ourselves, but we picked it up from other people. You know, when you're a child and your parents say, "You have no talent whatsoever, you cannot sing," what do you, you know? I remember when I was a child, my brother played the piano. And I said to my mother, no, he didn't play long. I said, "Could I take piano lessons?" She said, "Absolutely not. We started your brother and he didn't stay with it." Mm-hmm. So we're not spending that money. I could have probably been a concert pianist by now. But I can change that right now. I can start to do that. I did take piano lessons. I know how to do that. You have to see what your mind is telling you, and then you have to be able to change it. We're all puppets of our conditioning. Don't allow it to ruin your whole life because somebody said you can't do something. Never, never, never believe that. Never believe it. When somebody says to me, "Dallas, that can't be done or you can't do it," I look at him and I say, "Watch me. Watch me do this. I'm not taking your opinion. I'm going to do it." And I control my thinking. And then I'm able to do those things. Okay, let's go on here. Most of us think that life is some sort of boot camp for heaven. Do you remember my friend Doug the Baptist? He thinks he's in boot camp. He can't wait to get to heaven because he's going to be rewarded. Why is he going to be rewarded? Because he's suffering here. And the more, he loves to suffer. Because he says, the more I suffer and the more difficulties I have, the higher station I'm going to have when I get to heaven. Now, who put that out there? Now, that's the worst rumor in the world, isn't it? No, don't do that to yourself. And if Doug thinks that that's going to happen, good for him. It's not going to, you know. We believe this short lifespan is only a test for the paradise we are eventually going to earn. If we hang on and bear up, we'll someday walk through those pearly gates and be happy. You know, that's a Christian attitude, you know. Did you ever see Christians? They smile through everything. They just smile and they think, "Oh, that's just great. I'm suffering and this is a hard, hard life." This life is not hard, people. And this thing that we call God does not make a hard life for people. We make a hard life for ourselves with the thinking. Change that thinking. We'll someday walk through the pearly gates and be happy. These errors in thinking have been condensed into living facts. They have been condensed. We think that. What's the one thing we think? Well, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You never can get ahead. This, that, and the other thing. Bunch of garbage. Nothing is plainer than the of sorrows and trials. The inevitability. There, I got it. You see that? scratch my mind if it does that. Because I was told, you know, years ago that I was dyslexic. I'm working on it all the time. I'm not putting that label on myself. Don't put labels on yourself. But what if it wasn't necessary? Remember last month we talked about, is it necessary to think that way? Is it necessary to do this stuff? No, it is not necessary. What if tragedy, chaos, and unhappiness are nothing but a rumor cemented into our consciousness by years and years of conditioning? Cemented into our consciousness by years and years of thinking. How many years? Well, at least 2,000 people. At least 2,000 years. And we accept that. And we say that's the way life is because somebody else thought that up. Somebody else thought that up. You know, all churches have altars, do they not? Where do these altars come from? Well, they come from the pagans who had altars and burned sheep and animals and everything else, or killed people on top of the altar. Now, we just keep that going, don't we? We say, well, church has to have an altar. That's leftover stuff, people. I'm not putting that down, but I'm saying it's not necessary. You see? It's not necessary. What I'd like to suggest is that this heaven you're waiting for is available now. Who else said that?
Jesus. What?
Jesus. Absolutely. See this man, first time here, he's already knows it.
Jesus said it.
Jesus said that. Salvation is now. Salvation is at hand. Heaven is here now. Heaven is at hand. Why are we waiting to go someplace else for heaven? Because people think heaven is a place. They think it has a geographical location. Heaven does not have a geographical location. I think I told you the story when I was a minister, before I was defrocked. I was a minister in Tennessee, and they wanted to put me on the radio. So the manager of the radio station interviewed me first. And finally the question he said asked me was, do you believe in heaven? And I said, do you mean as a geographical place? And he said, yes. I said, no. He said, you can't be on the radio. You cannot be on the radio.
Can't go to heaven.
And I didn't get on the radio. Heaven is here now, right among us, right here. Everything is now. We teach that constantly because there's only the now. It looks in our mind and so forth. Oh, we have a past and we have a future. For all power, people, is in the present moment, is in the now. And you have to stay in the now. I never let my mind go back on a trip down memory lane. I don't go down memory lane. I have friends who call and say, ah, let's get together and talk about what we did 20 years ago or something. Oh my God, I didn't like it then. I don't want to repeat it. What good would that do? For, you know, I don't want to do it.
I think maybe years ago, one of the things you said was there's nothing outside of you.
There's nothing outside of you. It's all here. That all this is an illusion, people. Not really there. Not really there. Ah, okay. What I'd like to suggest is heaven you're waiting for is available now, and that you've been sold a bill of goods about who you are and what is possible. A bill of goods. We've been sold a bill of goods. Isn't that something? Do we know that? No, because we keep listening to people out there telling us. I surf the so-called religious stations. Horrible what the things they say, and they're still repeating, and they tell people the worst things in the world. Not true at all. None of it is true. You have to know who you are. That's why I start these classes every time informing you that you're a god or a goddess, that you are a creator, that you're one with this thing that we call God. And that God is in you, as you, and through you. It is always available to you. We're never taught that. It's a wonderful story about a woman moved into a small town, and she wanted to send her children off to church. So the only church that was available was the Christian Sahara Religious Science Church. So she sent the kids off to Sunday school, and they came back. And the mother said, "Well, what did you learn?" And they said, "We learned wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me." And the mother said, "Well, you can't go back to that church. You cannot go back to that church. Because, you know, the outside world and brand name religions are never going to tell you that you're wonderful. They're not going to do it. They just don't do it."
"Well, they're going to tell you you're a sinner."
"Well, of course, though. I hate that word, sinner. I've never been a sinner. I got kicked out of the Baptist church for telling them." "Don't mention it in churches. They don't like it." "No, it's true. They said to me, they were talking about sin that day, and I said, well, I can't, don't understand this. I don't think I'm a sinner." "Well, who do you think you are, Jesus Christ?" I said, "Perhaps." You know, they did. They asked me not to come back. And I said, fine. I thanked them all for the thing. And I said, you know, I wish I could have said to them, I learned something here. I did not learn anything. That all they were instilling. And it was that class. Oh, here's the clever thing about it. That class was taught by my friend Doug the Baptist. And he was teaching. Yes, bingo. And he was teaching that for 30 years. It was called the Young Adults class. I used to be a young adult. So I got into that class. You have to control your thinking, and you have to be able to think the thought that you want instead of letting other people put all that garbage into your head.
Isn't that the one that cusses at everybody in the car?
No, that's Dan the Shaman. That's Dan the Shaman, who just came back from doing this and the other thing and thought he just healed somebody. He said, "God damn, get that fire, get out of my way." Oh my, I don't get in the car with him. It's horrible. And he's a shaman. Now, I saw him for lunch. Now, let me tell you this one. When he has a sweet mate or something on the. And her name is Pat. She works for the industry. She's a Buddhist. And he says to me, "I can't believe she's a Buddhist." I said, "Why not?" "Because all night she watches nothing but Law and Order and all the killing things on television." I said, "Well, you're right. I don't know how she justifies that. She can say she's a Buddhist and then watch all that stuff, you know." You have to think these things through for yourself. But I'm glad he noticed that, but he can't notice that I probably have all blind spots too. I find that hard to believe. I may. He doesn't know that he carries on in the car like that. He absolutely thinks. And you'd love it if you came in here. Just don't get in the car with him. That's all. But I think I've told you people this. If you ever want to find out where you are in consciousness and how spiritual you are, the easiest way to find that out is get behind the wheel of a car. And if the person pulls out and you swear and cuss and do this, that, and the other thing, you haven't advanced very far. You haven't advanced very far. I just drive and say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." But I don't yell and scream. But he does. So, anyway, I'll invite him in for you to see. Don't tell him I told you all that. So hear about this, about who you are and what is possible. Everything is possible. Now, we've heard that since day one, that all things are possible with God. Churches will teach you that. But then when you say something to them, they say, oh, no, you can't do that. You know, I went through catechism in the Lutheran church. And I said, well, it says here in the Bible, you can do this and greater things. Oh, Dallas, you can't walk on water. Well, I didn't want to walk on water. I can't walk on water. You know why? I get close to water and it parts.
Very good. I like that. Well, you walked on coals.
Yeah, I did walk on the hot coals,
yes,
with Tony, whoever his name was, Robin. Yes, I did that. The way I see it, there is only four reasons we aren't all joyous, loving, and free. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Joyous, loving, and free. And here she goes. This, is, by the way, is from Pam Grout, a friend of Anders. We didn't know we could be. We didn't know we could be. We didn't ask. Three, we don't use our mind power properly. And that's all this teaching is about, people. It's about mind. And if you want to call God mind, please feel free to do that. But this teaching is about mind. It is about your mind. How to control your mind so you can bring into your life what you want. And you can bring into your life what you want when you learn to control your thinking. When you learn to control your thinking. This class is called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. Where I teach people to have a prosperity consciousness and then the consciousness of abundance. And people, if you have that, you can then treat for money and so forth. But most people want abundance and prosperity and money, but they're living in lack and limitation. And when you live in lack and limitation, that's the consciousness that you have up here. You cannot manifest any type of money or prosperity when your consciousness is in lack and limitation. So you have to look around and see that this world, that's the world out there teaching you about lack and limitation. But there's no such thing as lack and limitation. There's only prosperity and abundance. But you must change your thinking. You must learn to think those thoughts. Every day, say to yourself, I'm prosperous, you see. And put that thought, and that's the thought you want to think. Why would you sit and think lack and limitation? If you can do it once, you can say, oh, I'm thinking lack and limitation. Now you have to get it out of your head. And you will have to be the one to change it. The longer it stays in there, the more powerful it becomes. And you start to believe it. It's all done unto you as you believe. If you believe in lack and limitation, you will receive lack and limitation. If you believe in prosperity and abundance, you will receive prosperity and abundance. There is no lack of limitation, people, in the mind of God. That's an impossibility. That is an impossibility. So you have to align yourself with the mind of God. And you align yourself with the mind of God by thinking prosperous thoughts. You see? By thinking abundant thoughts. I use this and I absolutely love this one. If you're looking at the field and the field looks barren, you must see the harvest already done. You see, and say, oh, look at that, nothing's growing there. No.
you must
always see the harvest. See? So you concentrate on the harvest, not the rest of it. Does that make sense to you? That's in the Bible, by the way, people. I know a little bit about the Bible. Poquito. The other one that I love, and I try to tell people this constantly, God will always give you back the years that the locust ate. What is the locust? Well, the locust in my life was smoking and drinking and cavorting. That was the locust eating my life. When I discovered that, changed my thinking, learned to think the thoughts that I wanted to think, my life completely changed. It completely changed. So I'm now being given back all those years that I wasted. You see? Does that make sense to you? And you can start at any time. God will give you back the years that the locust ate. We don't use our mind power properly. If you've ever been in a sailboat, you know that unless you hold the sails in the right position, you're pretty much stuck paddling in circles. The wind, like your mind, is a potent energy source. Now, I love that. It's a potent energy source. Do you know that this thing inside of here, this thing we call the brain, this thing we call the mind, is potent? Isn't that a wonderful word? You have to use words like that. Remember? Words structure thought. And that's why when you get into this teaching, you must acquire a different vocabulary. You acquire a different vocabulary. One where you know, ha-ha, I have a potent mind. I have a powerful mind. You see? Isn't it? Did anyone ever tell you you had a potent mind? No. No one ever told you that. No one ever told me that, you know. For years, I was under the impression that when I was being made, going down the assembly line, it must have been a Monday, and they gave me the wrong mind. You know, a faulty mind. Now I realize there's nothing wrong with my mind. It thinks a little differently than some people's minds, but it thinks correctly for me, and it does the things that I want it to do. It's potent. I love it. Okay. Oh, round in circles. The wind, like your mind, is a potent energy, but it won't take you anywhere until you learn the proper way to use it. That's what this teaching is about. I don't care. Religious Science, Ernest Holmes, and all the people, all the ministers, whatever out there, the essence of this teaching is to teach you to think correctly, to teach you to think differently, to learn to think the thought that you want to think. That's the whole essence of this teaching. If you don't do that, you see, you'll be like everyone else and sit there for years, you see, in a church, not getting anything out of it whatsoever. Now, I know many churches and many, and I'm talking here, Religious Science churches. They give beautiful, flowery talk. But at the end, they said nothing. You know, it's like Chinese food, only stays with you a minute. You have to use your mind. You have to use your mind. Last week, I think I told you, and this is absolutely the truth, this teaching that never teaches you what to think. It teaches you how to think. I bring this information to you, but I'm not telling you to think that way. I'm telling you to think for yourself. When I was in ministerial school, we had the fourth year students had and the third year students. The third year students were given a table and they had questions and so forth. And then one of the fourth year students, like I, would monitor what they were saying. My table, every damn one of them, started out with, well, Kennedy would say this, and Kennedy would, I said, I don't care what the man says. What do you think? What do you say? Have you made this your own? You know, I could stand up there and say, well, you know, so-and-so told me this. No, don't do that to yourself. Think for yourselves. The same way I tell you, any of this information that I'm doing does not belong to me, people. It belongs to the universe. You may use it at any time. You may change it, you may do anything. The only thing I ask you not to do is say, Dallas said this. Don't ever say, Dallas said that. Say, here's what I'm thinking. And you can use my material. I don't care about it. It's not copyrighted. You may use anything, but make it yours. You say you have to make it yours. Same way you were taught in practitioner school or whatever, you were taught how to do spiritual mind treatments. And spiritual mind treatments have either 5 steps or 7 steps. Don't ask me what they are anymore. But once you learn them, that's only to control your thinking, the steps, so that you're going somewhere with it. Do you ever see some people do a spiritual mind treatment? My God, it's all over the place. You know? So, and it won't work. It won't work. This thing that you're asking is God is pure intelligence, and you must talk to it intelligently. You see the difference? You must talk to it intelligently. You must make spiritual mind treatments yours, not somebody else's. You see, the 5 steps are great. I have many people say, oh, you left that step out. I don't care. I know perfectly well, a potent mind, that my spiritual mind treatments are going someplace and doing something. You see? I don't want a bunch of people mimicking what I'm doing or what the church is doing. That's just making puppets out of everybody. You don't want to be a puppet, do you? No, you don't want to be a puppet. Don't do that. Okay. We have a thing about drama. Ever wonder why roller coasters are so popular? Well, they may be for some people. I don't like them. Why movies like Alien, yes, and Predator boost ticket sales? People love to be scared. I never like to be scared. I don't like horror movies. I don't watch that kind of stuff. That's a fantasy, people. Why do you want to bring something like that into your life? I would rather see miracles. I would rather see beauty and all that. Not all that other stuff that goes on out there. Come on, admit it. Okay. You crane your neck around to see those mangled bodies lying there along the side of the road after a car accident. I never look at an accident, people. I never rubberneck. I always look in the other way and I keep right on driving. I keep right on driving. Now, when I say I keep right on driving, I do. I also leave a prayer for those people. I leave a prayer for those people. But I never look at it, and I don't want to see bloody bodies. My head never turns when I hear a siren. I had relatives, every time they heard Serenade, they rushed to the window to look around and see, who wants that? You're drawing that into your life. No, I never look around at that stuff. Or fire trucks, and people love to run after all that stuff. It's not good for you. That's not training your mind correctly. So if you're doing it, stop, you know. But if you're doing it, please don't punish yourself. Don't punish yourself. There's no punishment in this teaching. There's no shame in this teaching, and there's no guilt in this teaching. There's only mind, and there's the idea that you can think the thought that you want to think. And the reason we're not thinking the thoughts that we want to think is because we are puppets of our conditioning, and we have bought the story for so long, over 2,000 years, and we think it's real. We think all that stuff is real. And it's not. Some of it's very pretty and very elaborate. I love to go to high mass and so forth. It's just absolutely thrilling. But it's not doing much, you see. It's not doing that much. Okay. Praying in excess. Aha! You actually like being a little off kilter. And guess what? As long as you enjoy this, you get to have it. As long as you enjoy it, you get to have it. Don't enjoy all those things that we think are human and we have to. I never listen to the news. I'm sure some of you people have stopped doing that. The 11 o'clock news is the worst one in the world to look at because you have to go to bed after that. Now you've got your consciousness, all that, whatever they're telling you out there. I always look at my rose that I bring in from my garden that's beside my bed, and I look at that rose before I go to sleep and I say, oh, thank you. Isn't that wonderful? That flower is absolutely gorgeous. And then I remind myself that a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. A world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. You want hostile, move to the moon. You know? This is not a hostile environment. This planet that we live in is absolutely a marvelous gem, and it is everything here for us. Everything is here for us. Learn to look around. Learn to see all that stuff, that beauty. It's always there. Okay. This may be a hard pill to swallow, but we, you and me, made the mess. We made the mess we're in with our thinking. And we can get out of that mess by changing our thinking. It's easy. It's simple. Everyone wants to make this teaching complicated. Everyone wants to make everything complicated when everything is absolutely simple. Everything is simple. It's done unto you as you believe. What are you believing? What are you believing about yourself? Do you know that you're one with this thing called God? Do you know that you're a creator? These are the thoughts that you want to learn to think. And let all the rest go. The same. The circumstances in your life and all that stuff on the outside of life has no influence on you whatsoever unless you buy into it. Don't buy into what's going on out there. It won't help you in the least. Then you can stop all that worry, all that anxiety and so forth. Now, how do you stop the worry and the anxiety, people? What is the one thing that stops that?
Thank you.
Yes, think of God and know that you're being taken care of. I am being taken care of. I am the beloved in whom this thing called God is well pleased. You have to see yourself as the beloved. You know, 99% of the people out there are starving for love. And they want love. They want somebody to love them. That personal loving or whatever. Why don't you learn to love yourself? Why don't you hold yourself in the highest of esteem? Then love will come to you. But love is not one of those things that anyone can give you. If you don't love yourself, no one, I don't care how many times you're married or whatever, if you don't love yourself, there's no point to it at all. You see, people think that somebody else, if they, oh, if that person loves me, that'll make me whole. No, it won't make you whole. The only thing that's ever going to make you whole is to come to the realization that you are love itself, that you are love itself, and you need nothing added to you. You need nothing added to you. You see? We're not taught that, are we? One of the lies that we're told, you know, to find happiness, you have to find somebody. You have to find your soulmate. You have to be in love with somebody. You have to do all that stuff. Yeah. Well, that's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. Learn to love yourself. Just try it a little bit. Just try it a little bit. Raymond Charles Barker, who had the church in Alice Tooley Hall in New York, and could fill that whole hall, and he had a wonderful consultation going. People would come to him and say, you know, I don't love myself. There's nothing about me. I look at me, I'm ugly, I'm this, I'm that, he'd say. Can you look at your fingernail, your little fingernail? Yeah. Is there anything wrong with that? No. All right then, start there. Start with that little fingernail. Start loving that little fingernail. And it will grow and grow the love. So you have it all over you. You have to start someplace. You see? You can start with a little finger. See? Works. Learn to love yourself. And I realize that is not a very popular thing to say, especially for the outside world. Because the outside world is not going to teach you to love yourself. It's going to teach you to dislike yourself. It's going to point out all your flaws, all your miscomings, and it's going to hold that up in front of you and say, you see, you're not very good. Don't do that to yourself. Hold yourself up and say, I love myself. I am a unique expression of God. Unique expression of God. You see, it works every time, people. So all the people out there in the world is starving, absolutely starving for love. But they think they can find it outside themselves. You can find nothing outside yourself. There is nothing out there. Everything is in here. Learn to see that. Learn to feel that. Learn to be that. Because you are love. You came from this thing we call God, and what is God? God is love. You see? Look at it and approach it in all different kinds of ways. Say to yourself, huh? My Heavenly Father has all these qualities. Therefore, I must have those qualities also. I must have those qualities also. And then accept those qualities. And it comes from loving yourself. So that is a wonderful thought to think. So learn to think that. Learn to always think the thought that you want to think. You're the one that is causing your life. You're the one that is the cause unto your own experience. You're always the cause unto your own experience. How did this happen to me? How did this happen, you say to yourself? Well, it happened to you because you're thinking. I don't care. You can go up one side and down the other, and you can argue, oh no, it was this, that, and the other. No. It's your thinking that caused the whole thing. And you can change that thinking. And you can look at every situation in your life and every situation that comes into your life in a different light. Change that attitude. And as soon as you change that attitude, everything around you changes. You're doing it. You're causing everything with this what? Potent mind that you have. Potent. I love that word. Okay? All right. Let's go to the next one down here. And this is another friend of Andy's. This is Abraham Hicks.
Love
it. Yeah, well, who said that? You? Well, Andy used to go to all the classes, didn't you? Go there.
No, I've only listened to her, but she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now listen. By paying attention to the way you feel, and then choosing thoughts that feel the very best, you are managing your own vibration, which means you are controlling your own point of attraction. You see? Everything is done with feelings, people. Feelings are the life of the organism. You see? Learn to feel. Learn to change your thinking. Which means you are creating your own reality. You cannot get away from that, people. It would be nice to think somebody else is creating. I used to say, oh, wish somebody else would take over this. Now I'm to the point where, oh, no, I want to do my own. I want to create. I don't want somebody else creating for me. I want to be the creator in my life. And you can do that. By learning to think the thought that you want to think. Okay. It's such a wonderful thing to realize that you can create your own reality without sticking your nose in everybody else's. Does anyone remember what the 11th commandment was? The one Moses...
Mind your own business.
Yes, Moses dropped that coming down the mountain. But the 11th commandment is, mind your own business. Mind your own business. We're so wrapped up in trying to mind everybody else's business that we forget that. But mind your own business. Okay. It's such a wonderful thing to realize that you can create your own reality without sticking your nose in everybody else's. And that the less attention you give to everybody else's reality, the purer your vibration is going to be. And the more you are going to be pleased with what comes to you. With what comes to you. Done with vibrations, people. There's all kinds of words and so forth we can use. But you have to learn to think correctly. And you have to be able to think the thought that you want to think. And we can all do that. It's easy. We do it all the time. But we usually do it in the negative. Now we're going to learn to do it in the positive. And we're going to see ourselves as the wonderful, wonderful human beings that we are. You see? What were we taught? That we're the insects of the world. What are these?
Is it worms of the dust?
That's it. Yeah. We were nothing. Now I'm telling you, you're everything. You are God itself. You are God itself. See? Now, I could go into a church and say that and be thrown out again. But it's absolutely true. And it's time for all of us to know that, and for all of us to believe that. You know, I wish I were getting younger, but I'm not. So I've made up my mind, I'm going to learn this in this lifetime. I'm going to learn it. I don't know if we're going to come back. I've never met anyone that came back. You know, maybe we do, maybe we don't. I'm not putting that down. But I'm saying we have to take control of our thinking right here and right now. Learn to think the thought that we want to think. You see? And what is that thought? I am one with this thing called God. Do you remember that little saying I used to have? All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. Isn't that wonderful? I am all that God is. A wonderful saying. These are the thoughts that I put through my head daily. I remind myself. Of course, I have fun with this teaching. You see, I do. I have fun. When I was studying the ministry, Kennedy Schultz used to say to me, "Stop testing the universe, Dallas." I love to test the universe. It doesn't scold me or punish me in any way by me testing it. If you don't test the universe, how are you going to know that it really works? How are you going to know when you think a thought, it becomes something? You know, all things start with thought. And then it develops into something. It develops. So learn to think the thought that you want to think. Give up all those other things in your life that you don't want to think anymore. Like, I gave up that I'm not musical. You see? I gave up I'm not musical. In the sixth grade, I tried out for the chorus. Mr. Cost was his name. So I sang something for him. And he said to me, "Dallas, do you have a cold?" I said, "Absolutely not." He said, "Oh, okay then, don't come back. Don't come back." So I took that as, "Dallas, you have no voice. You can't sing." Now, I sing around my house all day long. Ha ha ha. You know. You know, I don't care if anyone hears me or not. The thing, the thrill of singing, the thrill of doing these things. We can do it all. We can. So learn to think the thought that you want to think. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.